Are you a witness to the resurrected Christ? This is the question asked of us today. Our passage from the book of Acts tells the story of Saint Stephen and how he witnessed to Jesus in his actions, his words, and ultimately his life. What does it mean to witness to something or to be a witness? You know, we probably think here first of a courtroom drama, something like what we'd see on TV on like Law and Order. You know, here a witness testifies to an event that happened. And the witness makes a vow to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. For Christians, we too are called to be witnesses. We are called to testify to an event that happened in history. And what we believe is the most important event that happened in history. That Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And that human beings can now come into a relationship with God through him. But the question remains, how do we go about being a witness? To this, we look to Stephen as our model of what it means to be a witness to the resurrected Christ. So first, we witness in our actions. You see, our actions have an ability to point to something else. They signify something. In effect, in many ways, we can actually embody certain things in our actions. What do I mean by this? Well, you know, in college, we used to joke around about a friend of mine named Dave, and we used to talk about how he was all American, that all of his actions seemed to embody all of the symbols and signs of America. He was from Texas and wore cowboy boots, and he drove a Mustang. He was also hardworking and honest. You know, he was like the character in a Toby Keith song. You see, our actions, when we looked at his actions, he seemed to be the embodiment of all that was America. And you see, our actions have this kind of ability. They have our ability to point to something else, something greater than us. And we can actually embody certain ideas, certain things in our actions. And this is exactly how Stephen lived his life. Well, the first time we see Stephen appear in the Bible, it's in the context of one of the first churches. And they're trying to figure out how to care for the needs of orphans and widows. And so they appoint Stephen as one of the first deacons. And the job of a deacon was actually really simple. All they were called to do is serve the needs of the poor and destitute in the community. And so Stephen was called to be a deacon in such a way, actually, in many ways, embody and witness to Jesus in his actions. So for Stephen, coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ means that the cross is now a model for how we are to live. On the cross, Jesus gave over his life so that we might be forgiven and live. His actions, in a sense, embody Jesus. They are sacrifices that point to the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us on the cross. They become, in a sense, visible signs of Jesus. This is actually one of the reasons why we call the church the body of Christ. The idea behind this is that the church is supposed to be kind of the physical embodiment of the life and teachings of Jesus. So if we say that Jesus came to forgive sins, then we're a community that forgives one another. If we say that Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, then we actually embody this in our actions by serving the poor. And this is exactly what Stephen did, particularly with caring with widows and orphans. In a lot of societies in human history, actually, Christians were the only ones to run orphanages. The churches were the orphanage. And actually, my great-great-grandfather was raised an orphan by the church. So I, in many ways, are here because of people like Stephen. So if we are called to be witnesses, our actions need to reflect our belief in Jesus. So think about this in terms of a trial, right? If a witness takes the stand to testify to an event, right, their actions are put to the test. The lawyer comes up and they assess their character. And so if it can be shown that their character is one of honesty, then their story will be more credible. Similar for us, the ways in which we serve those in need, the way that we sacrifice for others, these things actually lend credibility to this message that Jesus Christ has been risen. And this is good news for all those who are poor, destitute, and in need of forgiveness. But there's much more than this to being a witness. And this brings me to our second point. We witness in our words. You know, we don't just witness to Jesus in our actions. We also have to witness in the things that we say. So to give this example again, the witness takes the stand, right? And, you know, the lawyers may tell stories related to their character, but after those stories are done, they don't just dismiss them from the stand. They want to hear their testimony. So the witness actually has to get up and speak and tell the court exactly the events that happened and why they are significant for the case at hand. And for Stephen can't help but give testimony to these events that are true. The fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he died for our sins and conquered death so that we might live. No one is going to understand this simply by looking at his actions. He has to share this information with them and try to persuade them that it's true. And so this is exactly what's going on in our passage today from the book of Acts. We see Stephen serving the needs and the poor, living out, witnessing to God in his actions, but then he's getting into an argument with people. He's trying to persuade them that Jesus is risen. So we are called in the same way to witness to Jesus in our words. You know, I think this is very difficult for some of us. Maybe when we think about witnessing to Jesus with our words, we can only think about people like televangelists and people who just seem to have the characteristics of a kind of swarmy salesman, right? Who are just trying to win over somebody else to gain money or something like this. And this couldn't be further from the truth about what it means to witness to the good news of Jesus' resurrection. We have to remember first that we're always persuading and being persuaded, whether we can help it or not. Anytime you go on the internet, people are trying to persuade you, whether it's advertisements, maybe it's a friend of yours reposting a news article. And we ourselves are trying to persuade other people. You know, there's this popular thing going around Facebook where you list 10 things that you're supposed to like, but you don't like. And so my sister-in-law put down Steely Dan as something that she knows she's supposed to like, but she doesn't like. And that's just a lie. But anyway, this, just putting up your top 10 list of things that are overrated, you're trying to persuade people to change their opinion about certain shows or television, whatnot. So the reality is, it's not a question about whether you will persuade or be persuaded, but it's a matter of what you are going to try to convince other people of. You know, do we care more that our friends have our same political views, that share our same tastes in art and music and television, maybe have our same morality when it comes to issues like the environment? Are we spending our lives trying to convince one another of our particular parenting techniques? Are these the things that we spend our days trying to be persuaded and persuading other people? Or do we want more than anything else to share this incredible gift of new life in God through Jesus Christ? You know, this is the news that is ultimately truly life-changing. And I, for one, am glad that I've had friends, family members, a whole host of people in my life who have been courageous to open up their mouths and share with me this good news. This, after all, is what the gospel, the word gospel, means, is good news. what I love about this word witness is that it's about pointing to the truth. It's not about claiming to have all the answers yourself or to be some special person who has been given this truth. It's really about pointing somebody else to what is right. So in this way, we don't have to worry about being right or intelligent or a good speaker. We can simply point to this good news and invite our friends to receive it. So we witness in our actions, in our words, and last, we witness in our lives. The most dramatic courtroom dramas involve witness intimidation. A witness is threatened. If you tell the truth, you're dead. And the best dramas show a heroic witness who cares so much about the truth that they are willing to risk their lives to testify to true events. The truth becomes more important than even their earthly life. And this is precisely what is going on in our passage today from the book of Acts. On the one hand, Stephen is wanting out of love for others to hear and understand this good news that Jesus Christ is alive. But he can't compromise his position. These are true events that he is called to point to. It is the truth, and he won't change his story even under the penalty of death. So the question posed to us today, are we willing to put ourselves on the line for the sake of others knowing the good news about Jesus? Now, we are called to sacrifice for the good news, but most of us will not be able to ask to do what Stephen has done today. It should be noted, though, that more people are dying because of their witness to Jesus today than they were during Stephen's time. I mean, particularly about our Anglican churches in northern Nigeria right now, many of which lives are being killed every single day and churches are being burned down for their witness to Jesus Christ. So martyrdom is happening actually more today than it was 2,000 years ago. But I think, though, obviously for many of us in America, we're probably not going to be called to make the kind of sacrifice that Stephen did. But I think we need to instead think about maybe the small sacrifices that we might be called to make. You know, I think probably the most significant one for us is comfortability. You know, if I'm honest with myself on a daily level, I like this notion of dreaming about heroically risking my life for the sake of Jesus. But when it comes down to reality, I don't even want to experience a little bit of an awkwardness in conversation with a friend for the sake of witnessing to Jesus. I think some of us, we just have to sacrifice a little bit of that. We have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable. Are we willing to risk a difficult conversation with a friend or a family member? Are we willing to have a difficult conversation with a coworker that maybe might lead to some issues at our work? What it comes down to, I think, is that are we willing to risk having maybe less of a life in the eyes of the world and a greater life in the eyes of Jesus? And this is exactly what Stephen is such a great example of. Think about this. The moment in which Stephen is losing his life, right? In the moment in which the world is judging that his life has no worth because of his witness, is at that precise moment that he has a vision of Jesus, that he sees the resurrected Christ, and he knows deep down in his heart that he can at this moment praise and give glory to Jesus, because he knows that even if he loses everything in this world, he knows that he is gaining his eternal reward of eternity with Jesus. The word martyr, what we typically use for somebody who has lost their life witnessing to Jesus, the word martyr simply actually means witness in Greek. The idea behind this is that if you're a Christian back then, you were called to witness to Jesus, and the assumption was that there was always this risk of losing one's life. But also, what's amazing is Stephen, who's kind of considered the first martyr, the name Stephen in Greek actually means crown. And so the idea is the moment where Stephen is martyred is the moment he receives his crown. And the idea of the crown is basically like we earn the reward of a king by getting to be with Jesus for eternity. So in those days, you'll notice in the artwork that we had at the beginning of service, you can always tell artwork depicting this scene because there's always an angel with a crown coming for Stephen. And the idea is that every time you witness, right, your reward is the same of Stephen's. You get that heavenly crown. You get that kingly reward of eternity in Jesus. And so we can witness as well. We can witness to the world in our actions, in our words, because we have a deep-seated confidence that Jesus is risen, that we will see his face, and that this is greater than anything we could gain or lose in this world. So in conclusion, I want to challenge you all today. Think about one action, one conversation, and one sacrifice. What's one action, what's one thing you can do to care for those in need that's going to be a sign to the world that Jesus is risen? That's going to be a visible manifestation of who Jesus is. What's one conversation that you can have with a friend or a loved one, where you can share with them this good news that life doesn't end when they die, that there's more to life than the grueling day to day, that a relationship with the living God can be had in the resurrected Christ? And then finally, what's maybe one little thing you might have to sacrifice for this conversation? So let's all enter into the life and witness with Stephen as our example, trusting with confidence that we will receive the same reward as him, a vision of the resurrected Christ and a life in eternity with Jesus. Thanks be to God.